You have just entered
Blog Talk the Red Radio. Room.
You have just entered the Red Room. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Red Room. A room that if you're not dialed in, guess what? You're really not dialed in at all. It's my pleasure to introduce our Red Room team. We have an awesome, awesome host, author, and just a downright awesome woman, Shelly L. Brooks. We love her. And also we have her sidekick, but a great, great man, and one of the hardest workers in the DMV, my man and your man, James. And also tonight, we have a great, great, wonderful lady with that accent we all have come to love, Sarah Lynn. And I'm Vic Love, just saying hi and enjoy yourself in the Red Room tonight. At this time, I'll ask our host with the most, Shelly L. Brooks, to take us live. Come on, Shelly.
Victory. Thank you so much. You are so awesome. I just want to thank everybody for joining us in the Red Room tonight. As Victor said, we have a great team of people who are every week dedicated to coming to the Red Room and just discuss the topics that not just we decide, but our listeners decide. Tonight we have a topic that is one that a lot of people probably don't think on the surface they have the answer right away. But the question tonight is, who heals from infidelity sooner, men or women? Now, what I want to first start by saying is, I wanted to stay focused on the topic of healing, not who cheats more, because I know that's something that is going to open up the door to discussions that, you know, we can go all over the place with. And it's a debate, it's a battle. And now I want to do that because I think that's going to be one of those shows that we've talked about. We're going to have to do a battle in a section. So we're going to stay focused on the healing, not who cheats more. But in order to answer that question, of course, everybody, you know, gives their own opinion and their own answer, and we just kind of bounce off of that and share what we think or what we feel. I want to share the statistics that I found, which indicate that 57% of men and 54% of women admit to committing infidelity in a relationship at some point in their relationship. So the numbers seem pretty clear on the surface. And again, we're not going to go into who cheats more. Those numbers are there, and they could be what they are. But I want to kind of, I think that the numbers, because they seem so clear, they do deserve a more in-depth conversation. So I look forward to that show that we have that panel and we have that battle, but tonight we're going to talk about who heals faster, sooner, or becomes whole in a situation where they have experienced infidelity. I'm going to give my opinion first, and usually I don't do this because I like to throw the topic out there, and I like for everybody to give their opinion. I like for people to call in first, give their opinion, and I usually kind of step back in, you know, into the shadows and listen and then throw my opinion out there. But for tonight, for some reason, I wanted to give my opinion first, and I think it's because I just think it's something that we really don't think about, and I'm sure somebody's going to agree with me, and if they don't, I welcome the disagreement. But in my opinion, I think men heal sooner. And I think that, in my opinion, men are far more devastated and emotionally damaged by infidelity than women are. And because of that severe damage, they heal sooner than women. And I know that may seem kind of like, where is she going with this? That doesn't even make any sense. But when a man experiences his girlfriend or his wife has committed infidelity or cheated on him, no matter what the reason, and we're not going to get into the reasons tonight. He's almost stripped of the things that makes him a man, which is his ego and his pride. It's almost like a lion guarding his lioness and his cubs in den. No one is ever supposed to penetrate or penetrate that force field of protection or enter his domain. When a woman cheats, he has to realize that that has happened. She has allowed that to happen. For whatever reason, it has been her choice, and it's as if his manhood has been taken. So when you destroy or you take away his manhood, it's often hard to recover from that. And a man is less likely to forgive a woman for fidelity than a infidelity than a woman is to forgive a man. And what I found was about 23% of men who have experienced infidelity in their relationship or their marriage try to work on or repair the relationship after the woman is cheated. 23%. But even if he does do that, he still suffers and experiences all the emotions that a woman does, the giving that a woman. Now, the 87% that will process all those emotions that affect him from infidelity, he usually ends the relationship and starts to begin the process of recovery and healing. He just says, "To hell with it, I'm done with you," because you have allowed someone to infiltrate the den. Women, on the other hand, we don't leave as quickly. Women are far more forgiving than men, be it right or wrong. I'm a woman for myself, so I'm just saying, we are a lot of times far more forgiving. And women often or may endure infidelity one experience after another, but still stay in a relationship. And I can't tell you the number of people that have come to me and said, you know, I'm going through this, and he did that, and da-da-da-da. And it's times that I've heard them tell me this, but they still continue to stay in the relationship. But by staying and experiencing the infidelity more than once, she doesn't heal. So she doesn't even begin the healing process because she's still safe. It's like having an injury or you get a cut and you go get stitches. But in the process of having those stitches, it's to make you heal. But then you go and do something to break loose the stitches so it slows down the healing process or it eliminates the healing process or it takes longer to go through the healing process until she decides to end the cycle of infidelity, either by imposing an ultimatum and sticking to it, or she leaves. Then and only then does she heal. Then and only then does she take the amount of time that she needs to go through the process. But she has also experienced the stage of that the stage of healing has compounded with the continued infidelity. So my opinion on the topic tonight is the man does. He does heal sooner. He does heal quicker because he does not stay. He will leave. But the woman will stay and deal with the infidelity. At this point, I'm going to open up the topic for all of my co-hosts, and then we're going to open up the topic for anyone who has called in that would like to share their opinion.
I would like to go next.
Okay.
I can't really speak on behalf of a man because I'm not a man and I can't tell you what's in his heart. But we could also say that man tends to look like or perceive to be forgiving, but are they really forgiving or moving on, or they don't have a choice as to move on? You remember, you have to think about man being a very hard exterior, and you have to portray the act of being hard. We could say he forgives, But it could be that he wants people to think that he forgives and move on, but it could be that he's still hurting. And I would like one of the men to answer that question. Am I wrong, or is this something that really could be that he makes us feel like he's forgiven, but deep down inside he carries all that hurt and carries
I
to the next relationship?
That. I can answer that. From personal experience, like, I've never really been cheated on in an official relationship, but just even in the dating world, you know, infidelity is infidelity regardless. But at the same time, I personally feel like, I know for me, once there's an issue of infidelity, for me, it's a wrap. I'm not saying I'm not going to forgive you, not saying, you know, we can never be friends again, I can't talk to you, and you know, completely delete you out of my life. But, you know, I'm real big on trust, and Shelly, you know that well enough about me. I'm really big on trust. So, but at the same time, I do feel as if I myself, I'm not going to say that I don't forgive you, because I do, but unconsciously, in the back of my mind, that's always going to play a part in my future relationship. Not saying I'm going to allow it to affect it, but in my mind it's going to be, well, what if this person does the same thing to me the last one did? Or these are the same signs that showed me that the previous person was cheating. So, I mean, you're always going to have that mindset as it, you know, to a what if, but you just have to know how to handle it in your own situation. Now, Shelly mentioned something earlier as far as women are more forgiving than men. I agree to disagree with that. I feel like a woman might forgive a man or a woman for the infidelity that was committed, but at the same time, and we all know what happens, at some point it's going to get thrown in somebody's face. Even with whether it's in a joking way or if it's even being serious. All you have to do is have one argument. Oh, well, you cheated with this bitch last week and this, that, and the third, blah, 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 blah. It's bound to happen. So, I mean, I agree to disagree with both sides of Sterling and Shelly's, you know, opinion. But it's kind of a tricky subject if you really think, you know, deep into it. But I'm not going to say how it's either.
Okay, I think I'm up now. Infidelity. Who rebounds the best? Or who takes it the best? Or who gets over the feeling the first? Let me tell you something. Infidelity, personally, if it comes to your door, will it's very hurtful. It's very hurtful. I don't care if a man or be woman. You know, once it's happened to you, you know, it's got to be hurtful. It's got to be hurtful. My stand on it, who gets over it better, I don't think nobody gets over it better. I think it's a point of, it's hurtful. Especially if you gave your all and somebody went out and did something different. For me, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get into, like Shelly said, she don't want to get into who does it more, who does it less. The thing is that if you've been hurt and somebody cheated on you, what you need to do is figure out why it happened. But guess what? A lot of times what happens is people bring it into the next relationship. You know what I'm saying? And the guard's up high, and they never really get over it. You never really get over being cheated on. What you do is try to do, figure it out. Because people are dogs, guys are dogs, ladies are dogs, and, you know, they're just doing crazy stuff out there. But who gets over? That's a really good subject, Shelly. I'm glad we got it because you got me. I can't even tell you who does it. It's a hurtful thing.
You can't really say that somebody gets over it faster than somebody else, though.
I'm sorry?
James? I just feel like you can't really say that one sex gets over it faster than others, because, I mean, it's different. And like she said before, men tend to show their, you know, more stronger exterior, which is very
right. We're right, Jane, but on the outer look, right? But inside, I guarantee you,
it's right.
Personally, it's hurtful. I mean, you might be macho, and you might say, oh, it doesn't bother you, but guess what? At the end of the day, it's hurtful. It's hurtful on all corners of the market. And men cry, too.
Of course
too,
it is, because it's a violation of a sanctity that you have in a relationship
right.
with someone. Whether it's a relationship or it's that commitment of I do, which is marriage, it's hurtful because you have entrusted in this person to be in a commitment, and then they decide to take that as insignificant and violate that trust. But, I mean, I think when it comes to men are like, oh, no, you did that? Okay, I'm not going to go there anymore, because we have to think about the fact that men see themselves as the protector, the provider, the one who holds down what's called family or the relationship. And don't let there be kids involved, because now it's like you took it upon yourself to step outside of this relationship to have an experience of some kind, be it for whatever reason, and jeopardize, because no one understands that every single time you do that, you are jeopardizing something. And what's interesting is, there are statistics out there that show that there are people who have said, if I thought I could have a relationship outside of my relationship and not get caught, the numbers are just crazy. And what's sad is that the numbers are higher for women than they are for men. So it's like that risk factor that you feel is an important and it's worth you taking to experience something that you know could cause a serious problem in your relationship. But men are more likely to say, you know what, no, you did that? Okay, you go ahead over there with Jody, because Jody, obviously, he don't have, he whatever it is that Jody, you think Jody has, go ahead with him, because I know I've done everything I should have done to protect, provide, give to you. And if you feel that that's what you want over there, see you later. Bye-bye. But women,
Jody,
we get emotional. Jody. But I could have called
Shelly,
him that wrong, but that didn't come to mind at the moment.
Shelly,
but
you know what? I could even go so far to say, you said before that you think men handle it better than women. But I could go so far as to say, when a woman is in a relationship, she goes with it most of the time. She don't go because she go in wholeheartedly. Sometimes when a man is involved with a woman, it's just because he likes it. He doesn't think anything past that. So maybe he had more experience in the matter.
Maybe so. I understand where you're coming from, and that does make a lot of sense. I know every single person, and if anybody disagrees with me, yell at me and scream at me and say, I totally disagree. I think every single person that's ever been in a relationship, in a marriage, has been in a position or had an opportunity or been provoked or been enticed to have an experience of infidelity, but made the choice not to, because they either felt like the risk is not worth what it is that I'm about to experience right now, because they know as a female, they feel my husband will never forgive me if he finds out. And a man may feel it's going to be a whole lot of hell at home. I just feel like men feel like, it's just going to be way more work than what I want to deal with at home. She'll probably forgive me. But women feel that the man is not going to accept it as easily, which is usually the truth.
Okay.
They just don't. I mean, and it's not fair. I'm not saying that it's fair, but men are, women are more emotional. We get more, we get so emotional about the whole, oh, I think he's seeing somebody, oh, let me go put on my sexy lingerie or whatever. For a man to feel like his woman has stepped out on him, what else does he have other than his masculinity and his manhood to be able to be that man to prevent that from happening? If he couldn't, if whatever choice she made to do that, he has to deal with the fact that there was the situation that now I have to deal with, and how do I even bring it back from that? How do I want to bring it back from that? Men are warriors. Men are protectors. Men are providers. Women are seen as the emotional people. So we are less forgiving. We are more forgiving than most men are. So I just personally think that women just, we don't heal as soon as they do because we don't walk away as quick.
Just forget, Shelly, don't forget, this is the 21st century. Not women are delicate and like a flower. Women are just as hard as these days as men are.
Mm. And yes, and I totally agree. And I had a conversation this afternoon, as a matter of fact, with someone, and we talked about that. That's going to lead to like the show that I said. We're going to talk about why it is so easy for women to feel that it's okay to compete in that whole man's world because they're not as delicate as they used to be.
And I wonder why we changed to that kind of hardness. You think it's because of the men?
Hmm.
You gotta be really quiet. I'm trying to be quiet. I'm trying to be quiet.
Vic, I know that it's coming. I know that it's coming. You're just taking it in.
You tried to take us somewhere else, and I still want to go there because that is definitely a point of conversation that is something that we need to talk about. And
you know I could be man and I could be woman. Come on, bring it on.
Right.
Oh, me? Listen.
No,
all I'm saying.
That's what she said. That's what she's saying about herself, Victor. Calm down. Don't attack, okay?
I'm not attacking.
And
I'm just want to say one thing.
So go ahead. I know.
I just want to say one thing. That's what I want to say about, you know, something. The killer part of that, you know, infidelity is so much on the rise. You know, I think if we, not to take focus off the topic at hand, it's just that I think if everybody really took a lot more time and enjoyed their own relationships, and people are trying to do the right things and try to be more into, it's so easy with the social media and all these different POFs and Glide and OVO,
mm-hmm.
that it's cheating's on the rise. But what you need to do is,
yeah,
if you find you a real mate that you love, you need to focus more on what got you guys together. And see, that's where the problem comes in, because you forget how you meet them. Because remember,
yeah.
how you meet them is how you remember them. And it's no more courting. I mean, back in the days when we were young, you court. Sex was like a prize. Now, sex is just like an intro, introduction.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Hey, how you doing? Here's my penis.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's nobody's, you know, it's easy to just get that. There was a time when you had to do a lot more. Me as a man, and being I'm going to be 52, I know, I'm sorry to say my age, but that's what it is. Whereas people, they did more. They held hands. They courted the woman. So infidelity is going to rise. And so that being said, if we start looking more at the relationship and trying to build it, then you don't have to worry about that. Because foundation, there's no foundation no more. No, there's no
right.
nobody's building anything. They're just getting straight into
right.
sex. And
Yeah.
And guess what?
Which leads that one piece of the relationship that if it's violated, the relationship is broken. If you guys don't, if you like movies and y'all have movie time together, and then one picks a movie that the other one doesn't pick, is it going to be an argument that's going to break up the relationship? No, we just have different interests now. But then if one person, you know, does something that is outside of the relationship that relates to sex, now the relationship is over. So you're right. The foundation isn't there like it should be for, and I'm not saying that's the reason why, because we definitely are not going to go there. But I agree with you, Victor, with the, you know, the whole, it shouldn't just be about that. But then that does lead us into the whole topic of why, which we're not going to discuss. So I want to open up the lines for everybody giving their opinion. I think we should open up the lines and see what anybody has to say, because I think this is going to be interesting. So I'm going to open up the call to caller last four numbers, 8995. Welcome to the Red Room. Please share with us what you would like to add.
Wow. Let me just say, wow. I haven't been on a while. Thank you for letting me chime in. I was listening to you guys, and I kind of laughed. You guys stay on topic. It's funny because we're talking about men or women healing quicker. I think women do heal quicker. I think women heal quicker because when a man does step out, the first thing a woman will say is, God damn it, you just like my father, or you just like my uncle, or something they've experienced coming up. Also, society also says that, you know, all men are dogs. But I was listening to your statistics. It's funny that women are now surpassing us dogs. Definitely not going to call y'all out your name, but I will say this. My opinion is that men do not heal quicker. No way in hell. And I hope there's no kids listening. If so, parents, I apologize. But hopefully this is the Red Room and some grown folks are here. But let me tell you why men don't heal quicker. Men don't heal quicker because the first thing we think about, and I'm going to say it, it's the elephant in the room, but we think about some dude being inside what's ours. We think about some dude, we think about the physical. The reason why we can't heal, because it's not about mental, it's not about emotional, because when we do cheat, nine times out of ten, when we do cheat, like I heard somebody say, there's no emotion attached to men. You know, it's about a piece of ass, you know, mad at home, blah, 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 blah. Now, when it's emotion attached, that's a whole different story. But I'm going to get back to the man. I mean, let's just say what it is. You know, men can't deal with it because we have the vision. We have the vision that you got your legs in the goddamn air. You're screaming somebody else's name. Excuse my friend. And I'm going to excuse my friend, ladies. No disrespect to the ladies on this call. But we can't think about you holding some other dude's testicles in your mouth and then looking at us and want to kiss us on the cheek. That's bullshit. That ain't going to happen. Not in my world. No, no, no. And I'm sorry. I'll be one of those men to tell you. It will be too fucking difficult because you start having those visions. And so you say, okay, but you guys are going to repair. Let's repair ourselves. Let's go to marriage counseling, blah, blah, blah. Every time you look at her, what are you going to see? Some dude grabbing her breast. Some dude with his hand up her ass. Some dude fucking the shit out of her. Maybe better than you. Maybe not, but guess what? It's the truth. I'm just going to keep it real. I will always keep it real when I call in. Matter of fact, y'all can just dub me angry man because y'all got some subjects to make a man just mad as shit. But I'm sorry to say that. But I'm being real honest. I'm being real with y'all. Really and honestly, truthfully, men can't deal with it because of the physical. It's not about the emotional. You know, you out with some dude. I heard somebody say negligee. Nobody care about that bullshit. What we care about is you grab something that's mine. I'm territorial. I'm peed on this corner here. You can't step across my bush and pee on my bush and think I'm going to be okay.
Mr. Angry Man, you are the man. Thank you. Thank you. You know something? You hit it right, the nail on the head, because guess what? That's the truth. And that's how men react, and that's all it is. Because it's not about anything else. It's about you're taking something that's mine, and I appreciate that. You're right. You're absolutely right. Now, Shelley, what about that?
I think that just kind of it adds credibility to my point, because men don't see it as, oh, I was, you know, maybe I wasn't home or what. They just see the vision of the physical, whereas as women, we see the emotional part. Oh, I didn't love him enough. I didn't cook his steak the right way. Oh, I should have folded his shirt differently. Oh, I should have lost some weight. Oh, I should have
checked
his
steak.
That's how we as women think. What did you say? I don't think anybody who knows me knows that there is any secret to my life. So from a female's perspective, you have to ask yourself those questions. Now, do you ever get an answer to why? Maybe you don't, and that's not for tonight's show. But you still go through that whole process of, if he comes back, I'll fix him. You don't go through that whole process of, this woman crossed over into my territory. You don't have the visual. I don't think women do. We do kind of somewhat have that visual, but not as intense as a man does. So it's kind of hard for them. And the thing of it is, when, you know, I read this article today that was so funny because the article was called When Snow White Cheats.
Was she cheating with all seven dwarfs?
Okay, because Snow White is like that princess of yours. When Snow White cheats, what does the man do?
I know Snow White was a hoe.
I mean, Snow White is just that, I don't know why they called it that, but it was just an article that I ran across. Because, you know, I always have to look into research for the shows that we do. But the interesting thing about it was it talked about how men react when a woman cheats, when a woman cheats versus how a woman reacts when a man cheats. And it talks about the fatal mistakes that a husband or a man makes after his wife has had an affair and how to avoid them. But the biggest thing that I read from this was one of the biggest mistakes is he feels that his infidelity is a reflection of his manhood or his lack thereof, which is one of the things that I said earlier. And, I mean, because it does. You, just like, what do we call him? What did he call himself? Angry man.
Is that what
he... Angry man. As angry man said, he has that vision. I see. I mean, he has that vision. So he feels, it's possible that he could feel that his manhood has been threatened. Not that it should have been, but that could be a feeling that he feels. And it's not discredited. But one of the things that I also found out from this article is that the biggest mistake that men feel when that happens to them is they feel like they're alone. Because how do you go to one of your boys and talk to your boys about, yeah, man, I just found out such and such? How does that make you feel?
You know what? Can you hear me?
I'm telling you, as women, we can grab a pizza. We can grab four bottles of wine, two whole gallons of ice cream, make a phone call with tears running down our eyes and snot running out our nose to one of those girlfriends and say, girl, I need to come over because they just cheated on me. And they'll open the door up and we'll spend all night long talking about it, and they'll hug us and they'll tell us how to fix it and make it better. You tell me what
guy. You know what, Shelly?
He can't.
You know what, Shelly? Hello?
Yeah?
Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Angry man, yeah. You on.
Yeah, it's not about...
We can hear you, angry man.
It's not about the lack thereof, because trust me, it wouldn't be about that. What it's about, and I know from fact, because I've had dudes come through the door and say, man, we got to talk. What should I do? And I got to listen to the damn stories and be that damn rock so they don't go out there and blow somebody's head off. Because you got to remember, it's not always about the size or was he bigger than me. Dudes don't talk like that. You know what the first thing a dude gets mad about? God damn, I'm paying on this goddamn house, these cars, these kids, and all this other. I'm going out here every day busting my ass, and this is what I get? This is the thing. See, that's the problem. It's like, really? Maybe I'm not the best dude. Maybe I just don't say I love you enough, or maybe I didn't buy you enough negligee. But what I did do was, as your ass sitting on this nice-ass half-million-plus-dollar house, riding in a nice car, got the nicest clothes, the kids ain't hungry, the kids got everything they want, Xbox, PS4 and all that other bull. It's about that. It's a different kind of hurt. It's a hurt because I've heard dudes talk about how they provide for this chick and how they do this. And yeah, maybe they didn't take him to the islands enough, or maybe they didn't take him dancing enough, you know, or maybe they just didn't take him to the movies enough. But then I listen to them and I think about the women in their lives and I say, but damn, they can make a good point. Like, you're not faithful? Like, okay, maybe I'm not perfect, but look what I'm doing. At least before you go step out, ladies, look at your man and say, okay, I'm going to step out with this random dude, probably a coworker, probably a friend I met on the metro, whatever, whatever. But let me think about the man I'm going to step out on. Is he really a good dude? Now, is he an alcoholic? No. Is he a drug addict? No. Does he work every day? Yes. Is he busting his butt every day? Yes. That can at least give you something to say before I do this. Let me look at home, because if you get caught and you got to come back home, the castle that Snow White might be in may get the doors closed in the face. Because one thing a man's going to tell you first and foremost, a lot of men are not going to tell you about his size. It may be, it may be not. No man's going to ever say that his sex game is not on point. No man will ever say that. But what one man, but a good man will tell you, especially a man who's not cheating back on her, the first thing he's going to say is, well, damn, all this hard work I'm doing, getting us out the damn hood, doing this, doing that, and this is the thanks I get? Man, this is why dudes get killed. This is why dudes snap, because they sit back and they look around the room and say, all this I did, some other dude is now touching my Snow White. And I hate to say Snow White. Let me just go ahead and say my queen, because now my queen has been violated. And when you violate a queen on the chessboard, what's the first thing you do? You send your pawns after them, right? And then you send everything else after the other dude. That's how you get that violent thing going on, because dudes, they snap inside because they can't fathom that you would walk out of the castle and cheat on the king. On the king.
All right, but man to man, but why? If you have the found, you know, you said you could spend, you know, the household's in order, and the kids are fed, and the house paid for, and all that done. But if you're not taking care of what you her needs, she's gonna stray.
And I agree, and I said that. But also, we got to remember what I said. Remember what I said. The dudes have said, maybe I didn't take her out enough, or maybe this. But you got to remember, when you in this today's society, and I'm not going to say keep up with the Joneses, but when you try to get your family, give your family better than what you had, and you actually out there doing the thing. I mean, for the dudes out there who getting cheated on, the good dudes. I ain't talking about the bad dudes, the dudes who also doing the dirt, or the dudes who not even holding up their end, and the woman bringing in all the money, and all that. I'm talking about the good dudes. Because that's not. I'm not going to even talk about the dudes who just beat on the women, or dudes who cheat on them constantly. Not that dude. I'm talking about the good dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's going to look back and say. He's going to come and say to his buddy, hey, man, you know I could have done that, but damn, I'm doing all this other stuff. Doesn't that at least account for something before she did what she did? That's all I'm saying. That's what the dudes are saying today. They're saying, I'm trying not to. Any dude can tell you I can go out to any bar and pick somebody up randomly.
You're right.
You know,
right.
But I'm coming home.
And that's the conversation.
I'm coming home. I'm letting her go out with the girl, but I guess instead of going out with the girl, she's going out with the dude. You know what I'm saying?
And he's holding his end down.
I'm talking about for the man who's holding his end down. That's the man who can't heal from this. The dudes who are doing women dirty, they don't care. They don't care because if she's cheating, he cheating. Who cares?
Hey, Shelly.
Yes.
My man, Angry Man, you right on point, though. I appreciate that. But, hey, Shelly, my phone is blowing up. There's got to be people who want that.
I'm
sorry. Y'all can dial me out. I'll see y'all next week.
No, stay here. Stay with us, Angry Man. Don't go nowhere. Stay here.
We already labeled you on the show tonight, so you got to stay with us. But we do have to open up the call. The last four numbers of the call is 1111. We're going to open up the red room. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. What would you like to add to our topic?
Well, Mr. Angry Man, don't stop talking. This is Tiffany. Hello,
hey,
everybody.
Tiffany, how are
you?
Oh,
God.
Oh, my gosh. Angry Man, you just kept going on and on and on. I got to disagree with you, Angry Man, a little bit. Sorry about that. Shelly, I really agree with you. Yes, women do forgive much easier than men do. I am not going to lie about that. But what Mr. Angry Man was saying about, like, when men have, you know, I did this for you, I did this. Well, I'm one of those type of women that my parents raised me to have my own and to always do for myself, because a man can be with you or they can leave you. So if my man was to cheat on me like that, it has nothing to do with financial or anything like that, or it might not even be with the physical. It's just that if I'm married, if you love me, you love me. There's no excuse for you to cheat and stuff. But if you do, I'm the type of person that, you know what, I'm old school, Shug, like you. I do forgive. I do forgive because sometimes I look at men, I feel sorry for you. Because if you got a good woman at home, for real, and you got to go to others, and you don't recognize what you have, shame on you, and I feel for you. Because when that good woman really decides to say, you know what, enough is enough and leave you, then where are you going to be at? You know, then you're going to be sitting there imagining, oh, another man got my woman. Yeah, well, you had all this time to take care of your woman like you were supposed to. And like I always say, the grass is not green on the other side. But we do forgive. Ooh. We do forgive because we keep giving, and we keep giving you an opportunity to not. We give you a second chance after second chance after second chance. But then after a while, women get tired of all them second chances because if you don't take what we're giving you, then, hey, at the end of the day, when you're by yourself, it's done. And when women are done, they're done.
Oh, we're done.
There's no more coming back. You know, so I feel, Shelly, I feel angry, man. I get what you're saying, too, with men. You know, there are a lot of women, because I find it myself these days, women are very disrespectful. They don't care if you're married or not. They could care less. They can see you walking around with your boo in a mall, you know, on a trip, whatever. They still hollering, you know, looking at you like, hey, what's up? You know, no, I'm with my husband. I'm with my man, you know, but they don't care anymore. So that's why you got a lot of these women throwing it at these men. But on the flip side of it, men have to be strong enough to say, no, I got a good woman at home, or vice versa. A woman has to say, I got a good man at home.
If the man, but what I said to you, though, Tiffany, I just want to make sure you get me right. What I said was, this is the man who's not cheating. This is the good man who's not cheating. So you put him in a lump that he went out there and did something. I get what you're saying, that women forgive. I get that. But this is the man, I'm coming from the man's point of view, who's a good man who's not cheating. Who's not going after the random.
Then you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
I just wanted to make sure you got me right on that.
I got you now. You're absolutely right because as flip side for women, if you got a good man that's taking care of home, taking care of you, like you say, working, taking care of the kids or whatever you have to do, and you go and try to cheat on him because this man look good and this one, and then You get mad if your man ain't forgiving you. What you expect? You know, I'm all about marriage, as y'all can see. I can't stand infidelity. I really can't.
You sound like an angry woman.
Yeah, right. Right. No, I'm angry Tiffany.
So is angry. One question.
It's all good.
We get it. No, she nailed it, though. She did nail it, so I agree.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tiffany, you're so awesome. I so love that you come every week and join us. It's just so refreshing to hear. Because, you know, Sarah Lynn and I, like right now, we're the only ones with a female perspective, so it kind of like feels good to have another female giving us their opinions. But
there you go. There you go. And I like I always tell you, every week I enjoy you guys so much. I love it. I tune in as long as I can until I get through. But you guys are awesome. Y'all got to keep this up for real for a long time. For real, for real.
Thank you.
I want to come to the studio one day. I want to come to the studio and hang out with them, Tiffany. Hey, Tiffany, I want to hang out with them. That's what I want to do.
Look out. Well, let me ask a Vic Love. Where you at? You a little quiet tonight, Vic Love. What's up?
I'm just listening. I'm saying, Tiffany, you always get, you know, I enjoy your...
The studio along with James tonight. They giving me a break, so they kind of working the business part of it while I'm able to run my mouth. So
that's all right.
The guys, they kind of
that's
hold
all
it
right.
down while
James.
Me and Sarah
But I'm here and I'm listening, and I got you. You an awesome man, an awesome woman. Y'all doing your thing tonight. I just didn't shut up because guess what?
Hey, James, where you at? James, where you at?
I'm right here.
Okay.
Yeah, I know
what
I'm
going to do at this
get.
Point is I'm going to leave the line open for Angry Man and for our number one caller every week, dedicated a person, dedicated guest family in the red room that joins us. Because we do have to get to the scarlet envelope. And I want to say that usually it's Vic Love that reads the envelope, but for some reason that the email specifically asked that I read it. And I don't know if it's from a man or from a woman, But what I want to do is read the scarlet envelope for tonight. So, Victor, just know and understand, unless it's a special request, this is yours, or James is yours, or somebody else. But tonight I'm going to read the scarlet envelope.
Read it up,
and it
Shelly.
Says,
read it up.
Dear Red Room Radio, I have a major dilemma. There is a guy that I've been getting to know, hanging out with, and like very much. Great personality, hard worker, and loads of fun. But she lies in his appearance. Now, I'm not one to judge on the physical so deeply, but some days the attire just doesn't quite appeal to me. And thus far, that's the only part of this guy that turns me off. Now, many say I'm a little old-fashioned, but at the end of the day, I like what I like. What am I to do? I've been known to kick many to the curb because of the physical unattraction, but we became good friends with, you know, and we were cool. I like him a lot and really would like to move forward. Red Room Radio, do I do? Do I tell him exactly how I feel about his appearance, or do I just sit silently and compromise? Signed, Lonely and Confused.
Let me go first with Lonely and Confused. There's a couple of things you have to take into consideration. Not many men out there want you to tell them how to dress and when to dress. But it is a good thing to say, well, sweetie, I saw something that would look awesome on you, and I would like to take you out shopping. But just remember.
No.
Angry man, wait. Let me finish, angry man. People does not like people to tell them how to dress. But if you put it in a nice way and tell them, sweetie, you look fabulous in this sweater or you look fabulous in this trousers, that might lessen the attention of what you're trying to accomplish. But I am not saying it's a bad thing to dress your man, because every woman out there wants to have a good-looking man next to them. Okay?
I agree.
But I just tell you one thing. Don't be surprised when you take Mr. Shabby Chic and put it in really chic that everybody else out there sees him. Do you want to put your man out there? Nobody was seeing him all the time. But when you're dressing him up, now you're going to be dressing him up for the whole world to see. So just be careful.
How you dress him?
She's right. You dress him up. You mess around and lose him. But I like that. I'm gonna call her Allen girl, whatever her name is. But you're right. But instead of her telling him, I want to dress you up. What she should do, and this is my humble opinion, Miss Letter. What you should do if you're listening right now is just take him out shopping. And just ease it on them. And then when you take them out shopping, make sure you get them something that smells real good to go with the new shirt or the new jeans or the new slacks. Because then he's going to look in the mirror and say, wow, I didn't know I could look like this. He's going to say it. He doesn't want to hear it from you, because then he'll say, damn, she think I'm a mama. No, we ain't saying that. You got to ease it on them. If you ease it on them, then you can change them. But I may have to agree with Sarah Lynn. You might well just leave him like he is. I don't know if y'all got in the sheets yet. Because, you know, because he may not look like a $1 million, he may make love to you like $1 million. So you might well just keep that on the wrap.
Okay, this is Tiffany again. Let me ask you a question, though. Let's flip it a little bit. Now, she's not really saying what type of attire that he wears that she doesn't like, but what's wrong with sometimes the woman compromising, too? Like, if you have a man that might want to be suited down every minute, but next thing you know, on the weekend, I want to walk around with jeans and a vest and look like a thug. Not thug, but you know what I'm trying to say. I just want to be dressed down, whatever. What's wrong with a woman saying, you know, well, let's do this together, as opposed to sitting there saying, well, I don't like how he dressed. He doesn't meet my standards. And if you don't like how his attire is, then why are you with him? If you have another a thing in the mind that you think a man should dress like, then be with a man that's going to dress like that. That's how I look at it. Because with my man, I could roll with you any kind of way. You want to be suited down, we be suited down. If you want to walk around looking like you just got out the bed and we in the house, we chilling. You want to go outside with your pajama pants, we chilling. Hey, guess what? I'll go out with my pajama pants with you, too. I ain't going to look you up and down like that. So you got to pick and choose what you want. That's how I look at it. I mean, I agree with you saying, yes, hey, let's, you know, give a little, say, hey, let's try to go out and go do some shopping stuff. But see, that might not be that person's style. So your style might not be his style or vice versa. So it's nothing wrong with compromising together. That's how I look at it.
And the key is he makes her smile. He's nice to her. He treats her so good. Are you serious? You got a total package already, darling, without the clothes. I mean, what's the clothes? You're laughing every day.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. It ain't all about the appearance all the time. Because if you're treating somebody the right way, a woman's supposed to be treated, and treating them well in bed or taking them out and vice versa. Because I'm always about doing each other, not one doing more for the other. I'm a good woman.
Okay.
I totally
agree with you, Tiffany. I totally agree with you, Angry Man. But I will say this from a personal perspective. There's nothing I find sexier than
Tiffany's
going to
hang up, guys. I got a call coming in. So you guys take care. I got to hang up real quick. I'll talk to y'all next week.
See you next week.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. As I was saying, from my personal perspective, there's nothing I find sexier than an undercover bad boy that can put on a suit. But I need him to know when to wear which one. So it could be that he doesn't know when to wear what. Because if I'm reading this letter correctly, it says that there are times, but some days the attire just doesn't quite appeal to me. So maybe he doesn't know which days to wear which. Because, you know, when you're hanging out and you're just doing the whole casual thing, you need to know what works for. I mean, if somebody was to invite me out on a date, and they're going to say, you know, we're going to a picnic in the park, and, you know, then we're going to go, you know, hiking or whatever. If I come stepping out with a pair of stilettos on, I'm really not going to be dressed appropriately for the event. And that may be just taking it a little bit too far, but maybe the guy just doesn't know, or whoever just doesn't know what it is that they should be wearing. So what I would suggest to Lonely and Confused, whatever events that you, or whatever dates that you have, or things that you are doing together, mention what you are wearing they should wear. Because, you know, in dating, it's all about letting the person know, you know, what you're expecting, so you can know what they're going to, what they can expect. And just simply say, well, you know, if we're going out to dinner tonight, so what's the attire? Or you could say, let's just dress up for tonight, or we're going to keep it totally casual for tonight. And at the end of the day, let's just think about this. Whoever said that this was a woman writing a letter about a man? Maybe it's a man writing a letter about another man. Because, you know, in the red room, we keep it real with wherever it goes. So what if you got the guy who's dating a guy, and he just dresses in some crazy way or some way that he doesn't find it to be appealing to him? I think the key to this whole letter is communication. So Lonely and Confused, I think what you have to do is, and it shouldn't be done in a way to hurt that person's feelings, and I know that whoever wrote this letter is someone who is really, you know, a passionate person, or someone who would never do that because you wrote this letter. I think what you should do is make suggestions as to what type of attire you should wear. And I think Sarah Lynn's suggestion was awesome. I think maybe the two of you should go out shopping together and then kind of suggest see him in, because maybe he's just never, I mean, everybody is not a fashionista. So, I mean, hey, I don't even shop for myself. My daughter shops for me, and I will admit it every day because she's a fashion stylist. That's what she does. I don't know what looks great on me, pastels, whatever. So that person could be someone who needs some assistance with dressing. I mean, and then Sarah Lynn made a point. You got to be careful how much you dress them up, because her and I laugh all the time. I dressed up one that he was fine being dressed up, but then years later he wore basketball shorts and socks like above his calf to his knees. So obviously that wasn't what he wanted to do in his life. So, I mean, I thought the ankle socks, no-show socks, and the fly tennis shoes with the basketball shorts, the T-shirt that made you look like, oh, yeah, you fly. That wasn't what he wanted. That's what I bought for him, but it wasn't what he wanted. So then he walked around with the, you know, the tennis shoes on, the Evie Spirits with the socks up to his calves and the T-shirt that doesn't match the shorts. So you got to be careful how you do what you do. So Lonely and Confused, I hope we have given you advice from many different perspectives. And I really would like for you to kind of update us and let us know how this really worked out. I'm going to reply back to the email and let them know the different responses, which I'm sure they will know from listening to the show, and hope that we get an update. I want to move on because we are actually running out of time. You know, our show is actually starting to go over an hour, and this kind of tells me something, but we're going to kind of keep it at the hour and see what happens. But we have to get into my two cents. And it's not even my two cents, because I think it's one that everybody that is, all of the co-hosts decided it was something that needed to be discussed. It was something that was sent to me that said, I think it's a topic that needs to be talked about. Y'all, you know it's that time of the year where people give gifts. And the gift givers are always, they're not always the same. So you have some people out there that just give gifts because that's just what they feel like. Oh, I'm just sitting in the store. This is a gift. I'm going to buy 10 gifts and then just go home and put names on it. And then at least I have fulfilled my obligation of giving a gift. But I beg you, anyone out there listening, please, please put some thought into it. Because I know you're supposed to be able to appreciate whatever you receive. But it's only so much love you can receive from that ugly-ass Christmas sweater. It ain't no love in that. Unless you know that someone really loves those sweaters, or they make them themselves and they parade around them in the Christmas holiday dinners or the parties or whatever, and that's okay for them. And I'm not discrediting anybody that loves to do that, because that's a hobby, it's a craft. God bless you. But it's not for everybody. Don't give one of those sweaters unless it's something you know that that person would truly love. So I'm gonna ask for anybody to give some advice for holiday gift giving, because it is something that people need to know so that they can give with the intent that it's supposed to be given. Does anybody have something they have to add?
You know I like to see my two cents.
Please do.
My thing is, know your subjects. Gift giving does not have to be so complicated. Somebody out there just wants a Starbucks coffee card. The little
me.
Thing.
Entirely
the little
right.
Thing,
you love
it does not have. It does. You don't have to go shopping like you have to figure it all out. The simple things that people give have so much thought into them, and they so appreciate it. Know who you're giving a gift to.
That's right.
And I want to add to that, though, Sarah Lynn. So let's just say, it's just gifts that are given in all different aspects. You got your coworkers, you got your little circle of friends, but then you have that ungrateful as extended family, those folks that just every year, you don't see them but maybe three times a year, Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. But at Christmas, given they come for the food, and we already talked about what they bring, the nasty macaroni and cheese that you hide in the oven. But then Christmas comes, and they're expecting a gift. Should there be a limit placed on the amount of money that you spend on the extended family? Because 9 times out of 10, those are the gift that you don't need? Should there be a price or a limit that should be just communicated or just understood that you spend on those third family members? Not really.
Absolutely.
No. You know why? Because
chewing gum. Chewing gum and mints. But they talk a lot of bullshit. Chewing gum and mints because they talk a lot of bullshit. And they might as well have the breath smell well. Chewing gum and mints.
You know what? I hear you, Shelly, and I tell you this real quick. I'm not gonna get long with it. I'm gonna say it real quick. If after a couple of years your grimy little extended family keep bringing them grimy little gifts, then it's time for you to get grimy too. Because if you know I wear a $50 silk tie and I work for a living, don't bring me a cold. Nothing against Kohl's. Don't bring me a Kohl's $10 tie that's short and I'm 6'9" and the tie's like 3 feet long. You know what I mean? That's grimy. And if you're gonna keep doing that year after year after year, then let's just make it chewing gum and mints.
Chewing gum and mints because they talk a lot of shit afterwards.
Because everybody could use chewing gum and mints. That's something that you will always use, right? I mean, Victor, I'm sorry. That is like the greatest gift idea I've heard. But what is so interesting is, you know, people just don't think about the gifts that are things that people would actually use. I mean, there's so many things that people can give. Like, if you know somebody that likes plants, give them a plant. Now, I already know, for me, myself, personally, anybody knows, Sarah Lynn knows me, I love plants, but she would never give me a plant because that would be like her just signing up a plant with a death sentence. I love plants, but I can't grow them on the inside of the house. So if it's for the outside of the house, oh, they'll bloom and prosper and do everything, but if she knows, don't give Shelly a plant. Even if it's a $5 plant, even if it's a plant somebody gave her and she has too many of, she has plants all over her house. But and she really could just take a plant and repot it and give it to me, and would I be excited about it? Yes, I would, but by my birthday, it'd be dead. So what's the point?
But Shelly,
so many.
Yeah. Hey, Shelly, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sarah Lynn said. Know the subject. Know the person you're dealing with.
Know the subject.
And get something that's compatible to what they like. You know, if it's a family member, then they're not. Find something that you know that they do like. If they like drinking, give them an ABC card for about $10. If they like smoking, buy them some Newport. If they like, if they smell really bad, get the right gun. I'm saying get something that's compatible to the subject at hand. If you take care of that and guarantee it's the greatest gift, is something that a person really needs at the time. That's a
liquor always works for me.
And if you like
me,
give me an ABC card, and I'll make sure it's well used. I may have to add a couple of dollars to it, because you buy me cheap ass and give me like 15, I might need 25. But
They're gonna grind me, Vic. They're gonna grind me. Why you gonna put 15? Nothing ABC store costs $15. Don't give me no $15 ABC card. Are you serious?
I'm saying though, but at least it's getting you closer to the goal. I'm saying
the goal?
Know the subject and make sure you take care of the person.
So you give me the $50 ABC card, and I give you a $100 bottle of perfume.
But nobody knows juice, and I need the vodka. You know, make sure it's right. You know,
just bring me a bottle. Don't even bring me a car. Bring me a big bottle of Goose, and I'm good. Thank you. Love you.
Okay,
yeah, I'm good.
Angry Man, let me ask you a question. So so what you're saying is, if you would only give the above and beyond gift, but you get the $15 gift card to the ABC store, you gave the Tiffany earring to the family member, the extended family member, but you got a $50 ABC card. I mean, because it's like Vic Love said, you get what you know the person likes. But then again, it goes back to the question of should there be a price limit, and how do you impose the price limit? It's hard to tell a person that you're only going to give so many dollars unless you do that whole family, put your name in the thing and you draw it and there's a limit to the gift. So how do you prevent that from happening? Because you could give the Tiffany earrings to the extended family and get a $15 ABC card and you can't even buy the great news.
Will that be the last year? That'd be the last year they get a Tiffany earrings and I get it. Okay, so if it's the first year and I do all out and I'm getting this and this, then, you know, I'm birds of a feather flock together. Then next year you'll get a $10 AB, you'll get the $10, $15 ABC card. I get it. If this is how y'all roll, then I get it. But if you roll like that every year, and every year you get crappy little crap back, and they walking out here with nice stuff. Oh my God! Once again, you gave me something beautiful.
Angry man,
I'm sorry.
You know your family. You know how they treat you. And guess what? I'm not saying be as grimy as them, but don't give Tiffany when they give you Tiffany.
Right.
You know.
Right,
make
no,
sure,
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know
what I mean? I'm going straight down Canal Street. And getting a knockoff. Here you go, Louis Vuitton for everybody.
Why, man? You from New York City?
No, I'm not. I'm from D.C., matter of fact. I'm from D.C., but I mean, if I'm getting those kind of gifts, I'm going to ride up and get it.
Okay, man, I don't want anybody to ever think that this whole segment is about being ungrateful, because I know none of us are. But this is one question I want to ask.
Well, you know, somebody bring over $50 worth of paper towels, that's ungrateful. I'm sorry, that's ungrateful.
See, I need that paper towels. See, for me, I like paper towels. $50 worth of paper towels, that'd be a great gift.
And it's wrapped in newspaper.
Well, a newspaper can leave that shit. I don't even read it in the paper.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all letting me join in tonight.
Yeah, you're really like a host tonight.
I want to ask this question, and I know, again, I will preface this with no one is being ungrateful, but I really, maybe this will teach somebody something, because a friend of mine gave me a list of just like four quick things that you can give someone for a Christmas gift. One, it's like two of them that I think are great. One is a meal in a basket. You can always, no matter who they are, you can always do a meal in a basket. You can do some pasta, some tortellini, some noodles, and a bottle of wine, some, you know, something, and make a basket out of it. You can always find a company that does a mobile massage. Places, I have a friend who, her name is Indy's Hands. It's her mobile massage business. She does a great mobile massage business. She will come to your house. She'll do a single massage, couples massage. She's done several of our women's events. You can get a gift certificate for these kind of things. If you can't figure out what to give somebody, there's so many ideas out there. But with that being said, I want to close the show real quick with what is the craziest gift that you've ever gotten for Christmas? Did you know somebody that put no thought into it at all?
You said the worst gift?
The person that gave you the gift knew you, but put no thought into the gift at all.
Oh, I got it. Pick me. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, shit.
How did I know Angry Man had that answer? How did I know that?
Because it's sitting right here. They gave me a do-it-yourself steam your clothes steamer, knowing damn well I take suits to the cleaners. I'm like, I'm not going to do this because one, I don't know how to do it. And they sat there and gave it to me, and I'm looking at it, and it's been in my corner for 4 years now. And I said I'm going to put it on eBay because I can't clean clothes, but they gave me a steamer. Like I'm going to sit downstairs and steam my suits perfectly. No, that was the worst gift ever. Was it expensive?
Okay.
Maybe, but it was
okay.
The worst.
Okay, Mr. Angry Man, I know it's bad to re-gift items, but I'm perfectly sure there is somebody out there that would appreciate that gift.
Hey, sir, Mr. Erlin,
right.
email me your address and I'll box it to you.
Hell no.
I'll tell you, the worst gift I got, I was diagnosed as a diabetic. You know what the motherfuckers got me? A diabetic machine to check my blood sugar. Who the fuck does that? I'm going to kick his ass.
They're looking out for your health.
yo, come on. And the monitor and the strips didn't even fucking match.
Well, at least they put batteries in it.
And the strips, they didn't even fucking go into the machine. Who does that?
Oh, my gosh.
I want to kick his ass. I still touch his ass out every time I see him about that shit. That wasn't cool. He just gave me an NUC card. I would have been much happier.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Sherilyn, who's yours?
No.
I can't remember ever getting a bad gift from anybody because I'm a very easy person.
Wait till you see what I ship you tomorrow, then.
Okay. Let me say this to Mr. Angry Man. It sounds like Mr. Angry Man has a lot of hurt, has a lot of things, but I guess I'll tell you one thing. So what I wish for you for Christmas is my shoulder.
Your what?
My shoulder.
My shoulder to lean
try on.
On.
Oh, lean on a try-on.
I'm not being lost for words now.
You see, I got your speech
left. All
right,
I see my address.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Hey, man, I want to say thank
y'all
you again. Y'all have a wonderful show. It's beautiful, man. You guys are great. So thank you for letting me be.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I won't hurt nobody tomorrow, so.
Angry Man.
We thank you for joining the show. Call in and now you have a title. How awesome is that? James, what's your worst gift? Come on, you gotta say it.
I can't really think of the worst gift that I've had because people know that I'm very simple, but they know what I like. Like Vic was saying, you know I drink. You know, I go out, give me a bottle, give me an H&M gift card, or give me a meal, a gift card to a restaurant. Like, that's all I do.
Right.
So I can't think of anything over the years.
You see,
you're so
it
lucky.
It all comes down to knowing your party.
You're right, Sherilyn.
Well,
guess what, guys?
Well,
I'm
people.
I'm going to close the show with mine, and I don't want anybody to laugh at me, but I had an ultimatum of a gift, and the worst ultimatum for a gift, I was at least given an option, I can say that, but this was either a new stove or a microwave. I mean, a new stove or a new dishwasher.
Hmm. That's really good.
And a deacon and a person who actually lives with you 24/7. And that's all they could come up with, an alternative, one or the other?
Those are some good-ass gifts.
Yes, you have gifts, but the gift for Christmas is supposed to be for you, not for the house.
I was a housewife, and the option for my Christmas gift was a new stove or a new dishwasher.
That's why you divorced.
I was going to add that part. Because you could have given me a $25 gift certificate to Victoria's Secret, and I would have been so happy. But
No. Wait. I don't even know you more than, not even 5 years. I could say 5 or 6 years. And I would be able to say one thing I could give to you that would send your mind blowing. A pair of red bottom shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, honey. Yes.
You see what I mean?
I'm standing right
now.
Know
your subject.
Yes, because anybody knows me, I love my shoes. I have gotten shoes as they get for Christmas. As a matter of fact, I got a pair of shoes that are too hot,
few years ago and can't wait to wear every chance I get. So, yeah, that is when you definitely
now,
say no.
That's a man worth keeping.
Yeah. I always say a man who buy me shoes is a man worth keeping. That's just.
Well, I heard if you buy a woman's shoes that you want. A woman told me if you buy a woman's shoes, you're gonna walk out on
you. No, that's
I tell
the
you what.
Thing.
I tell you what. I have never had a man buy me a pair of shoes except for one. And guess what?
He's still around.
And we're gonna close the show tonight. We're going to thank everybody for joining us in the Red Room. We look forward to seeing y'all next week. James, I'm going to leave it up to you to close the show out. Where are you going to be Wednesday night?
On Wednesday night, 7401 Thrash Road, Clinton, Maryland, the Decoy Lounge. Karaoke night. Drink specials on deck. Come and see me. Check it out. Shelly, most likely will be there. You get a great opportunity
you know
to meet the host of the show.
And we will see you guys next week. James, Sterling, I so thank you, Sterling, for filling in for us tonight. Vic, love, you always the man. James, I'm going to see you Wednesday night. I'm going to try to drag Vic Love and Sterling down there tomorrow night so we can all hook up together.
I would love it.
So excited that we have come together and done another amazing show. Thank you again. We will see y'all next week in the Red Room. We've gone over our time, but we will see you again next week. Good night.
Peace out. Everybody
good night. Good night, everybody.
Great.
Good night, everybody. Sarah Lynn, good night.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
See you in 10 minutes.